Kidder Boys, today's daf is daf Pei Dalet, which by the way is the same oisi as daf Pei Dalet and daf. Good. We learned the Mishnah yesterday, and we are holding Omer of Chizda on the bottom of Pei Gimel Amud Beis. But Rav Chizda's halacha is intricately connected to the last part of the Mishnah. So we'll just go over the last part of the Mishnah again. Two lines before the wide lines. But the Mishnah says, Arba midos b'moichrim. There are four different midos, like four different rules applying to a mecher, where there is concern about oinoa. Our Mishnah doesn't talk about oinoa in terms of money, but it talks about oinoa in terms of someone being fooled or cheated. Who has the right to go and say, I'm not going to go ahead with this transaction? So the Mishnah begins. All the cases are pretty straightforward. They agreed initially for AAA wheat and Vinimtsu Royce. And then when it came to delivery, it was only single A. Then obviously the Lekech is upset. The Lekech Yochalachzabah. Then the Lekech has a right to go and say, No, I'm not going to go ahead with the deal. You didn't give me what we had agreed to. Note that only the Lekech has the right to go and change his mind, not the Moicher. Similarly, Royce Vinimtsu is Yochalachzabah. What happens if initially they agreed single A and it turned out, wow, this wheat is much better than I anticipated. It's AAA, it's superior wheat. Moicher Yochalachzabah, because the Moicher says the price that we agreed to was based on single A, but not AAA. You got to pay me more.
So well, doesn't the Moicher control what is being offered? Like, why would the Moicher say, oh, let's agree to single A, and then I'm just going to switch and give you AAA wheat?
It was dropship from China.
Number one. Number two, we're talking about, for instance, good old days. You have a farmer who produces wheat. You have a wholesaler or retailer that wants the supply of wheat to be able to sell to his customers. Right? Mm-hmm. So at the beginning of the season, they make up a deal. And the mocher says, for $5 a bushel, a dollar a bushel, whatever they agree to, I'll give you 100 bushels, you owe me this and this amount of money. Okay, what's the quality going to be? Quality is going to be AAA. And then it turns out that it was only A.
Right.
Not because he wanted to deceive him, but because the season, unfortunately, there was a drought, and there was a plague, and there was a COVID, and there was this and that, and it turned out it was only single A. Or the other way around. This moicher anticipated that the product, the crop, is going to be single A, because that's typically the way it is for many years. And this year, wow, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a real shefa to the all the farmers, and it didn't turn out single A, it turned out to be AAA.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Moicha says, but I'm looking in the Wall Street Journal under commodities, and I see for grain futures, if it happens to be AAA, you get kach v'kach, and if it's only single A, you get much less. Now, since I agreed to him on a price based on single A, it turns out to be AAA, no, so I want to go and get the right price. Yeah. So that's all fairly straightforward. So, if he sold, they agreed to Yofes, and it turned out that the produce was rice. Like, he said, I'm not going to go and pay you the amount that I agreed to a month ago, 3 months ago, based on this schoira. Or the other way around, rice and him to Yofes. Moich says, I'm not going to go ahead with the transaction based on the old prices, because I'm giving you superior product. Royce and him to Royce, Yofis and him to Yofis, if in fact the amount was exactly, or the quality was exactly what they had discussed, neither of them can go and change his mind, for obvious reasons, because that's what they made up, and, you know, what they made up is binding. Similarly, Shchamtis v'nimtis levona, as we'll see in the Gemara Mishnah shortly, the word Shchamtis comes from the word Chama. Chama is, of course, one of the names for the Shemesh, for the sun. And the Gemara assumes and says that the sun is red color or reddish color. And apparently there are only two types of wheat that are produced by Kodesh Baruch Hu in the farms. That's either reddish or white. So they made up to go and sell red. And then one afterwards it turned out that the delivery was white. Or Levadim and Nimtzishchamtis. They made up for white and it turned out that it was red. So this is not what they agreed to. Or Eitzim Shul Zayis and Imtis Shul Shikma. They agreed, I'm going to go and sell you olive wood, and turned out to be sycamore wood. Or Shul Shikma and Imtis Shul Zayis. but they agreed to sycamore wood and turned out to be olive wood. They agreed to a shipment of wine and turned out to be vinegar. But they agreed to vinegar and turned out to be wine. Since in these last few cases, everybody agrees it wasn't the product that was originally advertised and sold, and everybody can go and change their mind. Because it's not necessary that red is better than white, or white is better than red. Some people may have a preference for red wine, red wheat, and some may have a preference for white wheat. Just like, even today, some people like to have white bread, and some like to have whole wheat bread. Oh, shkoyach. And then some people might have this type of wood and that type of wood. Depends what you need the wood for. Do you need the wood for construction? Do you need the wood for making nice olive boxes and sending it
torches, torches.
Torches, etc., etc. Anyway, so therefore, both of them can go and be choyze and can have charat. Fine. All that straightforward. Omer of Chizna. Mochel Yishova Chomesh B'Shesh. Of Chizna now talks about the money. He doesn't refer to the quality, the quantity. I'm talking about the money. Mochel Yishova Chomesh B'Shesh. The product would have been on the market is at five. All of these are talking about situations like we learned back in Bav Metzia, where there was a fixed market rate. Because if there's no fixed market rate, there's really no Aynah. It's whatever the two parties negotiate, whatever they agree to. So there was a fixed market rate on this particular item. It doesn't tell us what the item was, but it doesn't make a difference. Mochaloi Shava Chamesh. Everybody knows that the real price on this is five. And the Moicher jipped the Lekech, and he charged the B'Sheish, he charged him six. Okay. Now, notice that the Gemara says 5 and 6 instead of 6 and 7. 6 and 7 would be an easier case, if you will, because what we're talking about is Aynah, and Aynah is a Shtush, which is a 6. So if the right price would have been 6, and he's charging him 7, there he's overcharging him by a 6th. That's what we call Shtus Mois. Rishbam tells us that back in Bamatzia, Shmuel said that there's not only a concept of Shtus Mois, but also Shtus Mekach. Shtus Mekach means look at the final product or the final sale. The final sale of here was 6. How much would a person overcharge? 1. 1 out of 6 is a 6. So even though we might look upon this as 1 out of 5, because the real legitimate price was 5, he overcharged him by 1, so that's 20%. That's if you look at Shtus Mois. If you look at Shtus Mekach, then you look at the, yes.
It's like when we have a homish. It's
Milabar, Milagav.
Right. Yeah, right. It's the final. The denominator is the final, not the actual number.
Very good. Same thing. So that's already one shtickle chiddush that Rav Chisda is throwing into the mix, and he says it was 5, and he charged him 6. So clearly, who was Nisane? The Lekeach. Nisana means who was deceived, who was overcharged. Okay. Now, guess what happens? V'hukar v'umad al shmoina. Lo and behold, there was immediately, for some reason, they found out that there was a shortage of this item in China or in Alaska, and therefore all the markets went up immediately, instead of now that the legitimate price being 5, legitimate price is now 8. And now who's upset? The moicher's upset. The moicher says, oy vavoy, I'm selling this product for 5, and I see now in the latest edition of the Wall Street Journal it's gone up all the way to 8, and therefore now I've been nisane. Of course, it's not the lekeach's fault, but now the moicher wants to change his mind. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you can't change your mind forever and ever. There's got to be some time limitation. So the Rishbam reminds us of our Gemara's back in the Sechses Bav Metzia, that any time that you have a sale and the purchaser feels that he was nisana, how much time does he have to go and change his mind and protest? Kedeshiyara letagar oylekroivai. He can go and show it to the local merchants. In other words, he goes to the marketplace and he goes to the Chamber of Commerce and he says, what's the real price for this? He asks the tagar. Or kroivai, his relatives who are in the know, every time he brings something new home, one of his cousins come by, oh, I heard you bought something new, what did you get? Oh, you paid 6? Come on, you're nuts. Everybody pays 5 for it. I know. I look at the catalogs and I know the Wall Street Journal and I see online all the prices. It's 5 and you're charging 7. Oh. Anyway, so whatever that period of time is, whether that's 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever that time period is, says says Rishbam, the Moicher found out that the prices went all the way up from 5 to 8, and now the Moicher says to himself, since the Lekeach has a right to go and still change his mind, so it means that this deal is not fully baked, fully closed, so I want to use this time period to change my mind, not only the Lekeach. Let me use this window of opportunity to say, oh, I just heard that it went from 5 to 8, I changed my mind. I'm not willing to close, I'm not willing to go ahead.
But he got 6. He didn't get 5. He sold it, he already overcharged.
Mm-hmm.
So he was part of the mechanism of the market moving from 5 to 8.
Because mm-hmm.
if he didn't sell it for 6, subsequently it wouldn't sell for 8.
The market went up because there was a shortage of
things. But the fact that the price transacted in these deals mm-hmm. advertises that there's, that's how we know there's a shortage.
Sure.
Suddenly the price is jumping up. So the fact that the mocher got 6 instead of 5
mm-hmm.
is what helped move the market to 8.
No, it's totally unrelated. What happens if they would have made a deal for 5, which is the right price, and it would have been 5, and he paid 5, mm-hmm. and the market went up to 8, having nothing to do with Reuven and Shimon. It went up because of
the
shortage.
So his price, his transaction wasn't recorded or noted by other merchants in the shipment?
No, zero. Okay. The only benefit to him about the fact that he overcharged,
he didn't get 5. He didn't get the old standard price.
If he would have gotten 5, then the Lokeach could not have changed his mind, even for 1 minute. He only gets that right of review if he was overcharged. Right? If he goes to the Tagel HaKroivoy and they say, no, in fact, 5 is exactly the price that you should have gotten, then obviously he would not have been able to change his mind. Then the Mocher wouldn't be able to say, well, I could still have it. It's only because he was overcharged he had that extra extension period during which he could review, the review period. But in fact, if they charge him the right amount, there's no review period. So bottom line is, the Moicher wants to now benefit from the fact that he overcharged the Lokeach to be able to go and say, not only were you Nisana, I was Nisana. Okay, it wasn't your fault, but I don't want to go ahead on a transaction and only get 5 or 6 when I'm entitled to go and get 8.
Did the Lokeach already take possession of the goods?
Yeah, some shit did, yes.
So he's the Mutzuk. I mean, it's already...
Yeah, but that's the same halacha that you have back in Bar Metzia.
Tagrei Lid and all that, yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Good. His Mochalei Shove Chomish B'Sheish B'Hokin went up in price Omer HaShmayin. Minus Ana. Who has the right? Now, Minus Ana doesn't mean who was cheated. It means who has the right to complain of being cheated. The Lokeach. Only the Lekeach has a right to go and have charat, not the Moicher. If you wouldn't have been ma'ana me, the Lekeach, you would not have been able to go and change your mind. The only reason why I could have changed my mind is because of the fact that you cheated me. Now that you cheated me, Matzis Hadrisbach, you want to be able to go and have charata, as Rishbam, that would be a case of choytin niska.
Yes.
If he would not have overcharged him, then he wouldn't been able to go and say, well, it's no longer 5, now it's up to 8. Mister, the deal is closed, we're finished, you know. That's what happens sometimes. Things go up and things go down, and now the Lekeach has the benefit of the fact of this immediate or this sudden
windfall
and surge in the marketplace.
Excuse me. Yes. The seller,
yes.
Even if the price of the item goes from 5 to 6, 5 to 8, but
yeah.
Shouldn't we look at what did he originally buy it at? Meaning that he buys it at a lower price and then sells it, right?
The seller? You're thinking he's a retailer, he bought it from the wholesaler.
Right.
Could be he's the farmer, and he went and they had a new crop now, and they agreed that he's going to go and sell it for 5 per bushel, and then instead of, or he didn't agree to anything, the market price is 5 per bushel. When this wholesaler, retailer came by and says, I'd like to buy 10 bushels, sure, how much is it cost? $6 a bushel. No problem, yeah, $6. He agreed to it, then he goes home and finds out, $6 a bushel? Are you nuts? Everybody in town pays $5 a bushel. So he gets very excited. He found out during that window of opportunity called Kedeshiyara Letare Oilek, Lekatagor Oilek Roivai. So he has a right of reneging and changing his mind vis-a-vis the transaction. That's legitimate because he was overcharged. But in the meantime, because of a shortage somewhere in Alaska or in China, all of the wheat or whatever he's buying surged very, very suddenly and went from 5 to 8. So now the mocher says, since you had a window of opportunity to change your mind, that means the deal is not fully baked in, consummated, closed, and completed, then I want to use this window of opportunity to go and change my mind. Says Rav Chizkiya, sorry, mister, you don't have this opportunity. The only one that has the opportunity to change his mind is the lekech, even though you're going to suffer, quote-unquote, a loss, because you're not going to get the benefit of this certain sudden
price surge.
Price surge, exactly right. Right? Yes, has everything okay? Okay. At this time in the Har Gemara, we're assuming that there are no outside problems such as the ones that you're discussing. You're talking about bug infestation that wasn't discovered immediately, it was only discovered later on. That could be, it could be there for grounds for Mekach Toys because he gave a defective product. I buy a new car, I travel, one day it works, but the next day the whole thing breaks down.
It's a lemon.
So that would be a separate issue. That's really not our discussion. And that there are other sugyas that discuss that in Mamatziah. We're only talking here about price fluctuation, where initially the price was 5. He went and charged him 6, so therefore he deceived him. And now, before, and he had an hour, a 2-hour window of opportunity to be able to do a review by discussing it with the local tagar, the local merchant, or his relatives, who all know the prices to the nth degree. He finds out that he was overcharged, and during that period of time, boom, there was an upsurge in the price of this commodity. And now the moicher said, not only do you want to change your mind, I want to change my mind. Does he have that right? Says Rav Chizkiya, no. Only the lekech has that window of opportunity, that short period of review, during which time he can change his mind, but the moicher does not have that benefit. So what Rav Chizkiya says is quite straightforward, you know, that the whole benefit of that window of review is only for the one that was Nisana. In this case, who was Nisana? Who was Lekeach. The Moicher cannot go and usurp that window and use it for himself and say, well, now I am Nisana. Well, you know, tough luck. Next time, you know, that same more tillum, and therefore you won't sell it at 5 or 6. You'll wait until it goes up to 8, and you'll have the benefit. It's, these things are in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Zokti Mara says, Rav Chizkiya v'tana tuna, and I'm going to bring you a raya from our Mishnah. And that's why we brought Rav Chizkiya in the first place. What does it say in the Mishnah? Yafais v'nimtzu ra'ois. They had originally contracted for AAA, and it turned out that it's only single A. Lekeach yochel lachzabai. The lekeach can go and change his mind, v'loi moichel. And the moichel cannot change his mind. Now you're saying to yourself, of course the moichel can't change his mind. The moichel doesn't want to change his mind. He's very happy that they agreed to the $5 price, and now that it turns out that the tefuah is inferior, so to a certain degree, the moichel is benefiting by it. So why, in your wildest imagination, why would the moichel want to change his mind? So the Mishnah is telling us dvorim pshutim. Of course, lekeach yochel lachzabai v'loi moichel. Here is where we have to now throw in that although the Mishnah didn't mention it, in fact there was an upsurge in the price, or there was a downsurge in the price. And therefore, it's the Moicha that wants to change his mind, and he wants to use as an excuse the fact, just like the Loi Keach has a right to change his mind, because he offers in him to arise, but I want to change my mind because the price says, gone up dramatically, and I don't want to go and suffice with the price that we originally agreed to. And since the Mishnah doesn't allow that, says Rav Chizkiya, that's a raya to me. And therefore, I have a raya from our Mishnah that even though there was a change in price, the only one that has the right to go and complain is the person who at the initial first moment of the sale was the sanah, which was the lekeach, not the moicher. And afterwards, if the price suddenly went up during the kedeshi yare, the tagar or the kroivai period, the moicher cannot say, "Oh, it went up all the way from 5 to 6 to 8. I don't want to go through with the deal because I can go and get much more money if the deal collapses. So I want to change my mind." Says the Mishnah, only the keach yachalach the boy. This is not a window for both change their minds. Only the one that was nisane batchila at the beginning of the transaction. And the Gemara now says the same thing in reverse. It's the mirror image. The Omer of Chizda, mochamei shava sheish v'chamish. He sold them six when the, I'm sorry, he sold it for five when the real price was six. So who has lost out as a result? The moicher, the seller. Because the seller should have sold it for six, and he sold it for five. Presumably it was a mistake. Why else would he go and give it for five if the real price in the market is six? Okay, so now who wants to go and change his mind as a result when he discovers what happens? It's the moicher that's going to want to change his mind. Ma'osa kodesh baruch hu. Before anybody had a chance to change his mind about anything, v'huzlu v'omdu al gimel. Baruch Hashem, it came in a tremendous rafkas. It was reported in the papers that a major, major shipment of wheat just came in at the port all the way from China, and everybody inspected and said, "Oh, this is wonderful stuff, and it's great." But now, since there's such a largesse in the marketplace, guess what? There's no longer a shortage, and the prices have dropped dramatically down to three. So who wants to change his mind at this point? The one that wants to change his mind is now the Lekeach, because the Lekeach says, I agreed to go and buy this stuff for five. It's true, I got a break. It was really six. I got it for five. But guess what? If I can go and terminate this transaction, I'll be able to go and get the same quality stuff and the same volume for three instead of for six or for five. So now, initially, who was nisane as a result of the six and five? It was the seller, it was the moicher. But now that the price has plummeted so dramatically down to three, now the lekeach says, "I have been cheated, so I want to use the moicher's window of opportunity for myself." Zokti Gemara says, Rav Chizda, again, the same halach as before. Minasana, who is the one that triggered Hilchos Einoah over here? Who is the one that was initially cheated? It was the moicher, because the moicher had a right to go and charge six, and he only charged five. And therefore, the moicher has a right to go and change his mind. Only the moicher yachalach zibay. V'loy lekeach. The lekeach has no such right. Why not? The amalei. Because he says, "Iloy nisan, if it wouldn't have been for this ainah, they have a matzis hadris bach. Then you lekeach, you could not have changed your mind. Hashta, because of the fact that you benefited from this deception, from this ainah, even if it was a mistake. Well, lemaisi, you benefit from it. Matzis hadris bach. Now you want to be able to have charata for the whole transaction. And say, no, I went down to three. If I would have known that I wouldn't have paid five for it, I'd paid three for it." So Timur Vitana Tuna, and again I'm gonna bring a ride from our Mishnah. What's a ride from the Mishnah? Ro'ois Venim Tsuyofis. They had agreed to only grade A. Turns out now that the Tfu is grade is triple A, not single A, but triple A. So who wants to change his mind? Machiachalachsabaika said, "I agreed to a price based on Royce, not on Yofis. Now that it's Yofis, I want the higher price." And the Moicher can go and change his mind. For the care. Break tomorrow, my Kamashma. Okay, stop. So once again, we have to go and throw in. What's the reason why the Gemara, the Mishnah even has to tell us, Moicher Yochalach Sabay, for the care? Because although the Mishnah doesn't mention it, the Chiddush of the Mishnah must be that the price has changed radically. In which respect? The price has gone down. So not only is the lekeach benefiting from the fact that the ro'ois nimtzu yofes, "Oh, I got it for a real good price because I'm getting triple A instead of single A," and therefore the moicher is upset. "Oh yeah, yoy, I sold yofes for the single A price. I should have charged the triple A price." And therefore the moicher yochalach zibay. But the lekeach also wants to be chayzer, because guess what? The yofes have gone dramatically down in price, and therefore the lekeach says, "I also want to change my mind because I don't want it with the price, even though vis-a-vis the royce I'm getting the office, and according to the old price that we had agreed to, I'm getting a beautiful bounty, a bargain. However, based on what I just heard on the radio, what I just got an email, that the prices have plummeted because of all this new tzvur coming in from Oslan, from elsewhere. As a result, the prices have really gone down. I also want to change my mind. Says the Mishnah, no, you cannot change your mind. Only the Moichel, not the Lekech. So says the Gemara, the way Rav Chisda understands our Mishnah, and the way he understands it makes a lot of sense, because the Mishnah on the surface is all Dvarim Pshutim. Who's going to want to change the mind? Only the one that's Nisana, not the other party. The other party is very happy. Must be that the other party is not happy. Why is not happy? Because of the sudden price fluctuation. So, Fekimora, if that's not going to shot in the Mishnah, my Kamashma and Masisin, the Mishnah Ale. Everything more in Masisin, Abimina, don't Rav Chisda, Travaya, Matsihadribu. If it was just based on the Mishnah alone, I might have thought and might have said that in the case of Rav Chisda, where you had this sudden, unexpected price fluctuation, either surge or a downturn or whatever, I would say perhaps Travaya, Matsihadribu. Maybe the window of opportunity is broad enough, not only for the one that was initially Nisana, but also the one that ultimately was Nisana, not by the fault of the Moicher or the Lekeach, but by the market forces. Mm-hmm. So therefore, maybe based on the Mishnah, I would say, everybody has a right to go and change their mind. So what is the Mishnah teaching us? The Mishnah, you're telling me, Rav Chisda says very distinctly that if it was Shavah Chomesh, Bishesh, and the hooker and went to Shmoinam, I'm just reading from the bottom, Pei Gimel Medveis. So what did Rav Chisda say? Minasana, the Lekeach is Nisana. Only the Lekeach can have the Charota, and not the Moicher. And that's the Pshat in the Mishnah. If that's the Pshat in the Mishnah, what are you telling me? That could be that the Mishnah would hold in the case of Rav Chisda, Travayu Matzi Hadribu. You see that the Mishnah says, only the Lekeach, and not the Moicher. I'll tell you what. Masisina Oslashminim. Mishnah is really telling us something else. The Lekeach Yochel Achzibah. Then, for instance, in the first case of when it was originally Chomesh, and afterwards he charged him Sheish, the Omenos, well, actually, our Mishnah is not even talking about a case of life, right? According to Moir Teres.
Just quality.
Just quality. So what was the case of the quality? Our Mishnah is talking about a case of
Yochel,
the Nimtzu Rois, that it was originally top quality, and now it turns out to be lousy. It was AAA and it turns out to be A. Or, in the Sefer, the other way around, that it was originally expected and they contracted for Rois for single A and it turned out to be AAA. In each case, if there has been a change from Yofis to Rois, or Rois to Yofis, whoever's Nisana can have Charot. That's what the Mishnah teaches us. So, that's a tougher question. No. So, Kedaita Chamina Mishum Dechsev. Ra Yoimer Hakoin. That's a pasuk in Mishle. What does that pasuk in Mishle teach us? Says Rishba. That any time that there is a sale of a commodity, it's typically the case where the moicher is going to go and say, "Oh, this is the finest quality. Take a look. You can see how beautifully it was crafted. Turn it on the other side and from this side. Oh, really?" And then, of course, the reason why the moicher is engaging in that type of puffery or hyperbole because he wants to go and get the best price possible. The Lekeach, what is his natural tendency? He, of course, wants to pay as little as possible. So he looks at, come on, look over here, there's a scratch over here. And the bottom of it, nobody even notices. Come on, you have to give me a discount for that. And after all, this is not brand new. I can tell that you're holding it already for the last 6 months. So this is already Alta Schoira. So therefore, in the negotiation, the moicher is always toiv yoimer ha moicher, and ra yoimer ha koine. Rishbam points out that there is only one pasuk ra. However, logically, the same thing applies vis-a-vis the moicher that he always says toiv says good. And so therefore, what am I learning from that? Says Rav Chisda, if you just learn our Gemara alone. And they agreed to whatever they agreed to. And they said it's got to be Yofis. And it turns out to be Rois. And so therefore, says Lekeach, I was Nisana. Says the Moicher, come on, you knew all along that it was going to be this type of Schoira. I said Yofis because, that's the puffering that we Moichers, And that's the way we talk. We say, yeah, it's going to be the best of the best. It's going to be the best of the inferior market. But that's what I, you should have realized. So I would have thought that maybe he cannot go and change his mind. Or the other way around, the other case in the Mishnah, where they agreed to Roy's, and now it turned out to be Yafis. And now, who's the one that is upset about it? The Moicher. So the Lekech would say, come on, the reason why we want to wrote in it Roy's, because I insisted that we write Roy's, because that's the way I talk, and that's the way all the... But I assumed, of course, that it was going to be the best, but we called it the worst, so that I would get the benefit of some sort of price break, to go and say, ah, come on, we agreed to that. So I would think that perhaps the Moicher cannot go and change his mind, because this is all just negotiation tactics as to how you describe it in the document.
A chapter or two ago, where they come out of the middle, this one says he wants three, and this one says
it's
one.
That's right. It's about Metzia.
We have also Nidorim.
Right. Nidri Zizus,
exactly. So then each one wants Mizora, or Nidri Havoyim. That each one says, I'm not going to go and sell this for a penny less than five. Four, right. And the other one says, and I'm not going to pay a penny more than three or whatever. And then they agree to four. Hey, you made a shvua. Shvua is a way. You know, that's a shvua. So mokram, whatever. That's the way people talk in business. Thank you very much. That's the same. So Lamaisa says, Rav Chisda, had I only had our Mishnah without my interpreting the Mishnah, I would have learned the Mishnah. I took it all, no price fluctuation. So what's the chiddush to go and say, Yafis and Imtzis Roy's, Lekech Yochalach, Saboy? Because I would say, even though they spoke about Yafis, this is no Giret, this is no Gizot, that the Moichas, oh, it's going to be the best, and another, and now it turns out to be inferior. So Moichas says, you knew all along that's, I am to be inferior Joe. Everybody knows in town that I always say inferior. Why did I say Yafis? Because that's the way I talk, and then it's going to be nice, and it's going to be great, it's going to be beautiful, but you know and I know this is not Kiret, is not Gizot. So therefore, I think nobody has a right to miss that. Kamash Malan, you do have a right after. Okay, so that's the Chiddush of Chizda, and if the Mishnah is talking, not telling us about Ra, but the Mishnah is talking, telling us about the price fluctuation, the only one that can be complained is the initial Nisana and not the ultimate Nisana because of the price going up or down in the market.
It's a 47th Street Gemara.
Okay. Shchamtes v'nimtes levana. You remember my uncle Lazer, Lazer Schreiber, his friend Rachel used to daven here and learn with us in the daf. He had an older brother, Uncle Abram, who was older than him. He also passed away. So he was a big soicher there in the marketplace, and people would ask him, Reb Abram Schreiber, when you go and sell a diamond, do you really know the quality of the diamond, that you can look at it carefully and see, and it's 2 carats, it's clean, it's not clean, and this and that. Are you really such a bucky on the diamonds? He says, no. He says, so how are you successful? He says, I don't look at the schayra. I look at the customer. I see, does the customer want it? Doesn't he want it? How much of a need does he have? And from that, I figure it out. So there are different ways of negotiating different things. Since we're talking about it, Rav Abram Schreiber, during in 1933 or 36, when there was the final Knesset Gedolah in Europe, the Reb Chaim Oizer, his friend of Bracha, who was the famous Gadol from Vilna, came to the Knesset Gedolah, and he needed someone to show him around. I think it was in Vienna, if I'm not mistaken. So the Aguda asked, Abram Schreiber, who at that time was a bocher, or perhaps was a young avrech, that he should accompany Reb Chaim Moshe everywhere. And he did. He was very, 24 hours a day. Reb Chaim Moshe, unfortunately, had no children. So therefore, he was his god, but he took him here and there and everywhere, wherever he had to go. Fine. So at the end of 3-4 days, or a week or 2 weeks, whatever he was there, Reb Chaim Moshe said to Abram Schreiber, because of what you did, I give you a bracha. You should be zoicha to arichas yom. So he said to him, Rebbe, how much does that mean? He said, you should live over 100 years. That's a nice bracha.
That's a bracha.
Beautiful bracha. Anyway, in the 19, now fast forward 20 years later, in the 1950s, Abram Schreiber was very, very sick. And he was in Mount Sinai, one of the major hospitals, and the doctors already said, we're going to have to operate, but you know, the chances of his surviving are. Abram Schreiber said, I got Reb Chaim Moshe's bracha. Anyway, what's the bottom line? The bottom line is he passed away at the age of 101, And he said that all of the doctors and all of the nurses that have predicted his early demise, they passed away, they predeceased him, and he lived many more years thereafter. So Rav Moises Bracha, who really helped him, was able to sell diamonds until shortly before his passing. Anyway, getting back to Agmar Nehemus, Baruch Hashem, you know, with Alei Koichos until shortly before. Shchamtes and Nimtzes Levana.
It's a great group then.
Sorry, once again?
It's a real great group back in the day. I'm sure that we had Moses to come in, brilliant, the old fellow.
Sean Friedman, Yaakov, right. Yaakov Meir Berman.
Come in the middle of the daf and, you know.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, Kenayin Har.
Yeah.
As I just. They're now all learning the daf in the Besmedish Shalom. Gabbai. And
Silver.
Halper. Yeah. Okay. So we continue on. So our Mishnah said that they had agreed to reddish wheat, and it turned out to be white, so then both of them can change their mind, because we talk about red instead of white, and white instead of red. Amar Papa, Miriktani Levana, since Rapapa says there are only two types of wheat sold in the marketplace. You don't have white, green, yellow, orange, you know, every color of the rainbow. You only have white and red. So since the Mishnah distinguishes between Shechamtis and Levana, we all know Levana means white, it goes without saying. Then that tells us that the sun happens to be reddish in color. What does he mean that it's reddish in color? Let's take a quick look at the Rishba. Miritani Levana Shmamina. See, it's about halfway down the wide lines. The word shchamtis means red and not black. In other words, it's not as clear as white and black, or black and white, or rather, it's red and white. There are only two different types. You go into the market, let's say, what type of wheat you want? I want yellow. Mister, there's only white and red. You don't have any other colors. If one happens to be white and the other goes shchamtis, Shema mina shchamtis aduma, that the term shchamtis means red. Where did it get its name, red? Well, shem chama, because in the word shchamtis you see the word chesmem, tof, that's the chama, which is the sun. She aduma, and therefore by definition, shchamtis, which is sun, means red, so that means that the sun is also red. She aduma, kar lechitim aduma, is shchamtis, because of the fact that the chama is red. That's why the chitim are called red, because they are sun baked and they get the reddish type of coloration.
Redskin.
Oh, that's, I think that's one of the
incorrect.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so Dr. Yimar, Shmamina Hashem Shasumka. See, I see from this that Shemesh is red. Now, if you're going to say to yourself, Vos is Mira Nafkimina, if you're red or Nish red, so there's, if you look at the next Rishvam, the Hoyin Leibari, skip three lines, you see at the end, my God, there's a small pintle, a small dot. Rapapa, Lefarish Mishasena Ba, Amai Mikri Shchamtis. Why is red wheat called Shchamtis? I'll tell you why. Because it gets its reddish coloration from the sun, and sun is called Chama. Oh, so I see therefore that the sun is considered to be red. Zokti Moratayda, I'll bring you a raya. Because Samka Tzafra Upanya. When you look at the sun early in the morning or late at night, sometimes you see a sunset, you see the reddish sun, it looks gorgeous, and some people get out of their cars and they take pictures and their iPhones and then with a selfie, with us, and yeah, to go and say, oh, so beautiful. So that's the real color, both early in the morning and late in the evening, it's really red. Aye, so you're going to tell me during the day it doesn't look red. The reason why is because Nahoirinhu, the Leibari. It's because the light of the sun is so intense that if we were to look at it, Chas V'Shalom, our eyes would become weakened. That's why they always say when there's an eclipse, you have to use those fancy glasses. Don't look straight at the sun, because Chas V'Shalom would burn out your eyes. Rahman Litzlat. So therefore, because the light is so intense throughout the day, and we cannot even look at it with our eyes, because Chas V'Shalom of the danger and the hazard, therefore it looks to us like white. However, were we able to really see it carefully and properly, it would appear to be red. And again, we'll look at the next Rishbam. Nahoyrin delay bari. Mo'er einenu einu baru kol kach. Our eye vision is not so strong because the light of the day, it weakens our eyes. Now it's early in the morning, where in terms of daylight there's very little daylight, and at night there's the daylight is going away, so it's choshech. Then you can go and see it. Okay, so slightly different than the way I explained it. In other words, as you know, daylight is not only because of the sun. There are days when the sun is totally covered by clouds, nevertheless there's plenty of daylight. So you can tell me that emanates from the sun. However, the assumption over here that there is daylight even outside of the sun. Because there is so much daylight, when we look at the sun, our eyes, if you will, have been weakened, which I'm using the expression.
Keha is from a goyim.
Exactly, yeah. So that's it's lightened in terms of the power to see, because we have this overwhelming light. It's like looking, if you have right on top of you, you have these the table lights or table whatever lamps, and looking straight into them, or they're straight into your eyes, so that, not that it blinds you, but then when you look at something if you're looking at a book or whatever, there are different colors.
You retain the image of it.
You might not see the full benefit of the color because of the overwhelming light. See, here too, you'd like to see the overwhelming reddishness of the sun, but you can't because there's so much other light that is, in a sense, like blinding you. So you can't see that reddishness. But when the day is at the very inception or late in the evening, when there's very little daylight, then you can taka see the chama the way it's supposed to when it's taka red. Zoki more haite. Look at my chama. So, who'd like bar? Frankti more meisve. You're telling me that the chama is red. Frankti more shtetz composing mareo omik min ar. There, of course, we're talking about the nega tzaraz, and the kohen has to go and see whether the nega tzaraz is still bimi luo, still bright white, or whether it's already mareo omik menor, it's like off-white, to determine whether it's a neged tzaras or not. Says Chazal, what means a mareo omik menor? Kemari chama amukim menatzeh. It's similar to when you look at sunlight, that it appears to be deeper than the shade. So if you're looking at the middle of the day, not middle of the day, that's not a good example, but at 10 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when you have both sun and you have shade, so then look at the sidewalk, wherever you're walking, and you'll see that the maricham is a mukim and a tzer. What exactly that means, Rish Rashi in Chumash says, he doesn't really understand what that means, that the cham is a mukim and a tzer, but whatever it means, it means. And that's the marei omik minar, that the mara of this neged tzeras appears to be lighter than it was when it would be nice and sharp and bright white. Now, Frank Dimora, how can Chazal go and say that when you're thinking about these blemishes, these marais, you're thinking chama mukim natzer? Vasam lovin hu. You're talking about that the mara of the neged tzaras, by definition, is lovan. And if it's lovan, how can you even use such a metaphor and say, well, it's similar to the chama being amukim natzer? Doesn't that suggest that the real color of the chama is white,
yes,
like you see it during the day, and that's why he's comparing the neged tzaras to the chama? So don't tell me that the mar of the chama is really red, but it's really white. Everything mar kemar chama like kemar chama. What Chazal meant when they say kemar chama mukim natzel, they didn't mean that you look at the blemish at the neged tzaras, does it look reddish or not? It has nothing to do with reddish. It has to do with kemar chama da mukim natzel. It's only similar to chama in the sense that when you're looking at the pavement and you're looking at the difference between the chama and the tzel, you see that the reddish chama is amuk, appears to be darker or deeper than the tzel, than the shade. But we don't mean chama in the sense of red and white. Here we're talking about the neged tzaras is white, and there we're talking about red. So the only comparison, or the only parallel we're trying to bring is, what are the appearances in terms of whether it's omuk or not? So that is a good comparison. That you can go and say the off-white compared to the regular white is like the red, the chama compared to tzel. However, we're not talking about the color of red versus white. No, that's nothing to do with that. I don't understand. If you really believed, based on this chazal, that the chama happens to be white and that it's not red, we see always in the morning when it's very early, at the time of Tzeis HaChama, when the Chama first comes out, in fact, it looks reddish. And you see at night, you can take a beautiful picture if you're driving down the West Side Highway and it's over the Hudson and it's now sunset time. Oh, take a look around. Really, it's sunset, so beautiful. I wish I had a camera with me. You do, you have your iPhone. Yeah, everybody starts taking 100 pictures. Oh, see, you see that it's red. So what's your half a minute that it's white? You see, Samka Tzav. The reason why in the morning it's reddish is because it passes by the red roses which are there in Gan Eden, and since it's passing by those, so then it reflects the reddishness of the red roses in Gan Eden. In Pampania, the reason why at night it appears to be reddish, the Chalfa Piska de Gehenna, because there it is going past the Pesach Gehenim, and there it's a red hot fire, unfortunately. And so therefore, when you're looking at the Chama, you're not really looking just at the Chama itself, but you're really looking at the reddishness of the Chama because of either the red roses in the morning or because of the Gehenim at night. The Kiryamrin, there's another version, Ipcha, that it's the other way around. The other way around doesn't mean that in the morning it's the Gehenim is in the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So it's not that in the east that there's the Kenem. The Kenem, of course, remains in the west, and the Gan Eden is in the east. The Ikar Amri explains, Rishbam means it's like the mirror image, that although the sun is coming up in the morning in the east, however, it mirrors the Gan Eden, which is on the west, which it sees, which you and I don't, I shouldn't speak for you, I don't see the Gan Eden, otherwise we should never see Gan Eden. But anyway, but that's like in the mirror, and that's why it turns red. And at night, when you see the reddishness, it's because it's the mirror of the Gan Eden, which is in the east, where it happens to be red. Okay, this is somewhat esoteric. Of course, the question is, what nafkamina does this all make? So the Rishbam said the nafkamina is to explain the pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shchantis, I should know what it means. However, there's a short toys that says that there's a nafkamina, not just the pirush of the Mishnah, but la halacha. See this high shimshah sumkasi, a very narrow one-line toys. Pishra menachim, the nafkamina, le noider mina odain. What happens if a person says, from now on I make a neder, I don't want to have anything to do with anything red. I don't want to deal with red-haired people. I don't want to eat red tomatoes. I don't want anything red. Red out of the question. Ah, so now the question is the sun red? Is the sun white? If you're going to tell me the sun is white, then I can have every benefit from the sun. If the sun is red, then I'm a tourist. I'd only be able to walk out at night when there is no sun shining, because otherwise any time during the day, unless it's a very cloudy day. Maybe in the cloudy day you'd have benefit from the sun. But the point is, if you say that the sun is red, then I gotta stay away. I made a neder min ha'odai. But if you're gonna tell me the sun is white, never have to worry, I can go freely at all times. Okay, back to the Gemara. We said at the end of the Mishnah, Yayim v'nimtza odoyim. I'm sorry, v'nimtza choymet, so choymet v'nimtza yayim. Shneim yichoy lasa ben, because we made up for wine. He's something in vinegar, but instead of wine. This should be totally in a machlokes. The sign. What's the machlokes? Yayin v'chaymitz min echadu. Now we're not talking about vinegar which is made out of grain. We're talking about wine vinegar. And I don't know whether today, but I remember years ago you were able to go and buy wine vinegar for Pesach. Since you couldn't get grain vinegar because that was chametz, you can go and get wine vinegar. And as it's popular in the Gemara, how did the wine become vinegar? Because it spoiled, or they've got it old, and it became sour. Therefore, the yain now became chaymitz. Okay, so now says the Tanakhama, yain v'chaymitz min echadu. The Rebbe oimish nein minim. For what purpose? Well, what is it teaching us? Says Rishbam two pshatim, but the first pshat is the main pshat that the Gemara is going to deal with, and that is the gabi hilchos, trumois and maisrois. Every single time you have to go and give truma. What happens if I have two barrels? One is full of wine. One is full of chaymet. They're both from the same year. We're not talking about, 2024 for 2023 or Tavshin Pei Dal for Tavshin Pei Yimel. They're both in the same year. And the question is, I prefer wine to chaymet. Other people prefer chaymet to wine. Obviously, it depends what you want it for. And therefore, can I go and give trumas or maestras or both from the yayin and pat to the chaymet, or from the chaymet to go and pat to the yayin? Says the Tanakhama, yes, the min echadu, the exact same. Therefore, it works.
Isn't there a problem of Avraham,
that's the Gemara is going to bring that another two lines. But what the Gemara is going to tell us, Taka, lechatchil avad, you have to give Yofa min a Yofa, not from the raw ala Yofa. But if you did it, it is valid and Trumasi Truma, it is effective. but you get a chait for not doing it properly, for not doing, if you will, l'mahadrin, or doing it l'chadchil. Chil, you have to do taki yof manich. We're going to talk about that in a minute. In the meantime, the Tanakh says, it's 1 minute. Rabbi Yoim is shnei minim. No, it's two separate minim. Since it's two separate minim, you cannot go and use yayin and choyim, it's choyim, it's yayin, forget about it, and if he gave truma, it is not effective. Okay, so since our Mishnah says shnei mechoyim lachzeboy, obviously it means that these are two separate minim, just like we said that zayis wood is not the same as sycamore wood, and that we said that red wheat is not white wheat, and so on and so forth. So therefore, l'choyra Mishnah goes like Rebbe. These are two separate minim, and that's why both of them can change their minds. Because if you're going to tell me it's one min, and just that the wine is now spoiled, and it's no longer yofa, and it's now ra, so then who is the one that has been nisana? L'choyra the lekeach. Because he said, I want wine, and I didn't get wine, I got this lousy vinegar. Yeah, but it's min echadhu. Drei min ishkakopim min echadhu. This is terrible, this is gefährlich. I don't want it. We agreed to yofa, it's min tzorois. So says the Gemara, the Chayre, it goes according to Rebbe and not according to Tanakh.
But in the earlier we had the chitin. One was white, one was red. They're both chitin.
And therefore, what's the difference?
That's one min. It's still min chitin, even though one's red
and
one's white.
And both in bichayin lachzabeh. Right. What's going to happen? Charata. Why can they both charata? Because there was a mutual nekach tois. We agreed for red, and he said white. He agreed for white, he said red.
Right.
So now the Gemara is saying, since these are two,
the Rebbe is two minim now. According to Rebbe, the yayin and the chometz are two minim.
Shchamtis and levana are the same min in the sense that they're both wheat.
Wheat, exactly.
And you have to go and make a moitzi on both of them.
Right.
But let me ask you, is zayis wood and sycamore wood, are the oats in the same min?
No, but they're both wood.
Okay, so the question is, do you call them min echad, do you call them shnei minim?
Okay.
It's the taka, the same type of kled that we're talking about.
Okay.
So it says, Yimor Lechoyer, it stims like Rebbe. The Rebbe holds shnei minim, and that's why both can go and say, I wanted wine. We agreed to wine, and it's vinegar,
yeah.
And not vinegar, not wine. Okay, so it's right now for the same rabban. It could be it goes good to rabban as well. Not coming to rabban later. Rabbi Elinid Ma'isur Truma. Okay, Rabbi Lo, that's the Chazal that you were quoting before.
Yeah.
Yom Rabbi Lo, what did Rabbi Lo say? Minay the Torah mina ro ala yofi shetruma say truma.
What's that?
See, you're talking. We're talking about yofa. And you
are.
Wow. See, isn't that nice? Anyway, what happens if a person gives spoiled or bad quality wheat or commodity on good stuff? So he especially gives the koyin the bad stuff because he wants to retain for himself the good stuff. So if you're toyin menaro aliyofa, how do you know truma sa truma? It works, it's valid. Make sure when you are being made in the chaylev over here means the truma, that good tithe that you're supposed to go and give to the kohen, make sure that you're not over on any chet. To frank the Gemara, im einay kodesh v'siyas chet lama. If you're going to go and tell me that if in fact you did ro aliyofa, it's not effective, so I didn't, you know, nothing ventured, nothing lost, nothing gained, kodesh, you know. I wanted to go and give it, but it didn't work. So what's the chet? The chet is not you're being the mafreshit and doing such a poor job. The chet is if it's an established truma, but it's not established truma. The whole thing is void ab initio. It's worthless. Wow. So why is he over a chait? It's mekan the truma rali yofin trumas in truma, and he gets a chait for not doing it properly, not giving the chaylev. Rather, he gave the
chief stuff.
The chief stuff. Good trumas in truma. That's all the gabi hilchis trumas and maizus. That's when the Tanakhama says menachadu, and give the yofin, don't give the ra. Kuli alma. Everybody could agree that it has a status like shnei minim. Why? Because ikad nichalei b'chamra, v'lei nichalei b'chala. V'ikad nichalei b'chala, v'lei nichalei b'chamra. There's some people that said, I'm not interested in vinegar, I want wine. And some people say, I don't wine, I want vinegar. And the truth of the matter is, everybody could be wearing both hats. It depends what you need. I have plenty of wine in my wine cellar. I don't need wine. I want vinegar. So it's not that he doesn't like wine, or the wine is repugnant to him. I just don't need it. I need the vinegar. Or just the other way around. I already have 80 different types of salad dressing in my refrigerator. I don't need any more. I just need wine. I have to make kiddush and chops. So therefore, even if you hold the gabi truma samais, it's min ha'achad. But the gabi being quote-unquote nis'ana, cheated, we don't really mean they're cheated. We really mean to say it's a mekach tois. The mekach tois applies to both of them. whether from wine to vinegar, vinegar to wine, because it depends what you want, what you need. If I need tables and chairs, then whichever one you sell me is good. But if I only need tables and I don't need chairs, if we only need chairs, I don't need tables, it could be the most beautiful throne in the world, fitting for Queen Elizabeth of late memory. Yes. Good. But Lamas, I don't need a chair. I don't need a throne. I already have chairs. Right. I need a table. Shine. So they're turning the tables up.
So why whine about it?
Why whine about it? Good. On to the next Mishnah. So the Mishnah Vayter, Amuich HaPeres V'Chaber. Person sold Peres. Moshech V'loi Modad. They did a Mishicha. In other words, Lekeach did a Mishicha. V'loi Modad, but he didn't count out the volume. Kana. That's okay. Now, the Mishnah really leaves out one important nekuda, which Rishbam supplies, that any time you have a mocher and a lokeach, by definition there are three factors that you have to look at. Factor number one is, what's the price? How much is he charging? How much is he paying? Number two, what is the volume? Is he buying 1 pound of potatoes or 10 pounds of potatoes? And number three, you have to make a kinyan. So those three factors come into play in deciding whether or not anybody can change their mind, whether the kinyan was chal or not, as the Mishnah explains. And says Rishbam, they agreed to the posted price. It was a price that was posted in the papers. Everybody knew what the price was, and they agreed to that. And Moshech, and now the Lekiach schlepped a bag of potatoes or whatever it was. And he had not measured it yet. We don't know exactly how much of it. Kana, he's kaina it. Why is he kaina? Because apparently it didn't really matter to him what the volume was. The important thing is he wanted to get these bushels of wheat, or he wanted to get these potatoes or tomatoes, whatever they were. And as long as he's getting it at the right price, and he made a mishicha, he was kaina.
There's a tolerance for a certain loss of quantity here that, I mean, you can say, hey, I thought I was buying a bushel. It's only 3/4 of a bushel.
He was a little psycho, I guess.
But the seller could say, I gave you a sacha of
a sach. Very good. Okay, beautiful. So that's the case where once he made the mishicha, I mean, Mister, if you want to get down to the final minutia, don't make your mishicha. Once you made your mishicha, you're koina, and now you're stuck with what you bought, even though v'loy modad, he didn't go and count it out. On the other hand, sees koina, is modad v'loy moshach. If he counted it all out, and they spoke about him, the price is going to be $5 a pound or whatever it's going to be, but he didn't do the mashiach yet, loikana, even though I know exactly it's 100 bushels, and I know that the price is $5, but the bottom line is I didn't do my mashiach yet, loikana, we're not going to. Imhoye pikech, if he was pikech, that is the lekech, and he is concerned about making a kinyan, for some reason he doesn't want to make a mashiach, or it's in a place that you couldn't make a mashiach, like a shesarabim, we'll talk about the Makayim shortly in the Gemara. Then there's another way, the Seicher is Makayim. What he can do is, if, for instance, he went in the store where the Mocher is selling his wares, and therefore the Mocher owns the property, or leases the property, and therefore the store is his, and the Lekeach wants to be Seicher, and he didn't make a Mashiach, or he doesn't want to make a Mashiach, there's another possibility, and Seicher Makayim, he can go and agree for a nickel, for a dime, whatever it is, I'm going to rent out your store for the next 10 seconds. Yeah, it's yours. And the schoira is there. So now he's going on with the king in chutz. It's his chutz. He rented it for 5 seconds, and now it's his. Now, halakeach pishta mechaveri. Person, instead of buying payers, he bought pishta. What's the difference between the reisha and the sefer? Rishbam says, really the difference is whether you're talking about large bags, large bundles, or smaller bundles. Because when it comes to pishta, they are normally sold, says Rishbam, shlifi zutri. Shlifi zutri means smaller packages. While in the case of the reisha, we were talking about tvua or peiris or vegetables that you usually go and sell in larger packages. What difference does it make? Because it's a larger package, it's hard to do hagba. Smaller package, it's easy to do hagba and galila. Right? So therefore, the reisha was talking about a case where hagba was prohibitive or difficult.
Unless someone could bail you out.
Bail you out if you took a bale of hay. Exactly. Anyway, so the Rishbam brings from the Gemara later on, we're going to have it mentioned in a couple of days, that where it says in the Mishnah or the Braisa that you do a Mishicha is b'derech kal de'ein darkim b'hagbo'ah. that it wasn't the derech to do hagbah. I'm looking at the Rishbam, which is Soicher es Mekoyimoy, towards the end of that Rishbam. We're talking about big, heavy bundles. Elkach, Tani Bu Moshach. They darken Hagbah. Typically, a person wouldn't pick it up. It's too heavy. So we'll see that although we normally think of Mashiach and Hagbah as being, if you will,
same category, the equivalent.
Oh, the legal equivalent for purposes of Metalkin. What Rishbam tells us in Peivav, we're going to go and see that in fact it's not so simple. Where Hagbah is, people can do Hagbah because it's small packages. Normally, Mashiach doesn't work. And normally, where it's large packages, you know, to. Maybe we have the more in Masechtas Kiddushin as well. We have the Mishnah over there, the Gabe, for instance, animals. Do you do an animal, do a Behema Gasa, Behema Daka? One man, the Yoma said, even a pill you can do Behagbor. Have him walk up three Prochim by going up on the ramp, etc. Okay, anyway. So that's the same Kavan over here. So the Reisha, the Pei Rois, we're talking about Mashiach because usually don't do Hagbor on the Pei. Pishta is usually it's sold in small bundles, so therefore he talks about Hagbor. So the kiyach pishta mechabei, right? How is it? Mekona achi yitalenu, yitaltalenu mimokam lamokam. And the Rishbam says, when he says yitaltalenu, what he really means is, yagbien v'yitlei. But since you don't normally go and take these bundles and start picking them up and do exercises or gymnastics with them, you pick it up to be able to go and put it in the truck or to put it into your sal or whatever it is. That's why he called it yitaltalenu, but it really means Hagbor. Then yitaltalenu. What happens if you're selling peiros or tvua, which is still attached to the karka, the tolish kosher, as soon as you do your first lisha, then you're kind of the tvua.
The transaction.
Okay, what Rashbam says, more mefarsh.
It's like a chazak in a land. You don't have to be mechazak every corner of the field. You do a porta, you do a nothing in the mechazak the whole field. So you're two, it's a lot, it's a whole pack. It's the whole mecher is one lot. So you do a little bit, you got it, that's it.
On Pen Pei Zayin, Rishbam said, Pei Zayin, the Gemara said, you should be tallish, koshu, kana, just because, And for the Gemara, stay tuned in another 2 days.
You can turn up the whole field.
Yeah. On to the Gemara. Look, Gemara, Moda, Dini, Echal, Gabi, Simta, Kana. Now we're going to talk about how the mode of acquisition, the mode of kit. So Rabasi and Rabbi Yochanan said, Moda, Rishbam says you have the mocher, and the mocher has his large sack, the mushel of tavua or of potatoes. And what is he doing? And now he is pouring it out. The nichel gabi simta sits on the ground of a simta. Simta we've had already in the past. Simta is like an alley where, although people do go through that alley, but it's a much, much slower, a much lesser traffic than you have in the shisarab. Typically, people only go in that alley when they hear that when Waze takes them out of the Waze, because it says this, you know, the traffic is terrible.
Superior choice.
Exactly. So don't go on the major highways and the major roadways because that's bumper to bumper, and therefore they go and take in these alleyways. And you went, where's Waze taking me to? So that's where these simtas come in. Now, what's so special about a simta? Because of the fact that it is a semi-public, semi-private type of setting, the Chacham said, you can be koine as a lekeach, as a person who's making a kinyan in a simta, because you can treat it as if it's your own property, kemat. Obviously not forever, but for purposes of the kinyan. So says Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabasi, just pour out the goods onto the floor of the simta, and the lekeach will now be koine with his dalaramis, with his chotzer, it's his. As either Rabasi or Rabbi Yochanan. Only Rabbi Zeira Rabasi, Rabbi Zeira was not convinced. He said, Rabasi, Shemle Shomer Rebbe, perhaps he's saying now in a very respectful form to Ravasi, maybe you only heard this halacha al-bamoydeh l'pech kupasai. When does that work? When did Rabbi Yochanan say his halacha? When the moicher poured out, not on the ground, but into the box or into the bag of the lekeach, so now it's kelav shalekeach. If it would be in the Rishus Rabban, he wouldn't be able to be koina. But since it happens to be in a simta, where simta is a semi-private, semi-public, so as long as it's in the kupa of the kech, that's what helps it to be koina. So therefore, Reb Zeira is now questioning Reb Asi, did Reb Yochanan really say Nezlacha on the ground in the simta, or rather into the kupa of the kech, which is lying in the simta?
Isn't it like a yad? Isn't a kupa like a yad then?
Yad, maybe it's like a chotzer. We're not finished. You have a whole discussion. Amalei, so when Rav Asi heard this question, Rav Zeira, he did not take it very seriously. He said, "Dami haimi rabbanan, kilei gamri inchi shmeitze." He said, "You know, it looks like you're a shtekalam uret." Model tekubasei, memra boy. If you're talking about that it went into his kup itself, isn't that a dover parsha that he was koina? Mishum yad, mishum chotzer, mishum kelev. So what do you have? What's the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan? It's chavada. So Timur, kimlenei lo kimlenei. Did Rav Zeira now nod and say, "Okay, you're right, I'm sorry, I made a mistake"? Or in fact, was he not happy with what Rav Asi said, and he still holds? No, Rav Yochanan is not talking about it in the simta, only if it's the keich shel and the kelev shel keich. Toshima, let's try to bring it right. Yom Rabbi Yanai, Omer Rabbi. Now we're talking about a braisa with Tannoim, that Chotzer HaShutvim, Koinen Zeh Mizeh. The Chotzer HaShutvim, the Gemara assumes, is similar to the Simta, that each one of them, although the whole Chotzer doesn't belong to me, but I have certain rights, just like I have a right in the Simta to be Koina, I can be Koina in the Chotzer HaShutvim. So the Gemara equates the two. So my love, when it says the Chotzer HaShutvim, Koinen Zeh Mizeh, a Moichir can sell to Lekech, Lekech can sell something else to the Moichir, everybody can be Koina because they have the right to do Kinyonim. It's like a simta. My love al gabi karka. Doesn't it mean that it went on the karka itself, and therefore I have a right to Rav Asi against Rav Zeira? So to my life, says Rav Zeira, it means that you poured it out not on the floor of the Chotzer HaShutvim. You poured it out into kupa shalekeach, which is in the Chotzer HaShutvim. That works. And says the Gemara, says Rav Zeira, how can I mistaver? And I'll bring you a right that I'm not just, you know, saying a remote doichik pshat. This is the real pshat. Because Yom Rabbi Yankif Om Rabbi Yochanan. Until now we had Rabbi Asi Om Rabbi Yochanan. Now I have Rabbi Yankif Rabbi Yochanan. And he says the same words that Rabbi Asi used. Moda v'niach al gabi simta. What does it say? Loikana. What did Rabbi Asi Om Rabbi Yochanan said? Moda v'niach al gabi simta? Kana. Is the chasir kashan adari? How could this be the same Rabbi Yochanan? So of course you can go and say two talmidim and one is they're misquoting. No. Elav Shema Mina, both are correct. Both Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan is correct. And Rabbi Yankiv and Rabbi Yochanan is correct. Kan b'moidu l'toich kupasai, if you're pouring not on the floor, but onto into the kupa of the lekech, which is lying in the simta, that's what Rabbi Asi meant. Mada b'niach al-gab, not in the simta itself. In the kupa shel lekech, and that's what it was. Kan, when did Rabbi Yankiv and Rabbi Yochanan say, loikana, b'moidu l'gab karka? Shema Mina says, Rabbi Zeira, you see, I'm right.
Yeah, so it was Rav Asi being so nasty to him for. I mean, it's really, you know, he calls him a dummy. Dummy. Hi,
dummy, yeah.
I'm saying, why is Rav Asi being so hostile? He's on point.
Got me 100%. Shema Mina. So if you look now at the Rishbam, El Shema Mina, but halfway down, you have El Shema Mina?
Yes.
Rabasi Omar Emes Omar Shishom Rabbi Yochanan Kana 100%. He heard Taka Rabbi Yochanan say Kana Kana. V'gam Rabbi Yankiv Shama. He heard him like Kana. Kid Am Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan. Ukin Mefarshi Kama Moed. Rabasi Toa Befeir Shmuasei. Unfortunately, Rabasi made a mistake. He was under the impression when he heard from Rabbi Yochanan V'niach Al Gabi Simta Kana. That means physically on the floor, not into the Kalev Sholekeh. And he made a boo-boo. It happens even to the greatest. He made a mistake. Back to Gemara. Toshima. So let's see, Taka, are we going to continue with this pshat? Toshima modat v'loi moshach loi kana. It says in our Mishnah, if you only did a medida, you did not do a meshicha, you're not koyin. My love, isn't it talking about modat that he poured it out and counted it out onto the floor? He didn't do a meshicha. And it says loi kana. So you see from that a raya to what Reb Zeira said, Rav Asi, I'm sorry, you're wrong. Iniach al gami simta is only kana if it goes into the kelev shalikeya.
Right.
But if it goes on the floor, you're not kana. But tomorrow, from our Mishnah, have no right. Loi b'shus Ram. Our Mishnah told me b'shus Ram. B'shus Ram kuli alma moida de lekeya cannot be kana because b'shus Ram is a hefker. You have thousands of people coming and going and animals and then kroinois and wagons and all that. You cannot go and set aside and say, okay, I'm going to be koina here, it's my chotzerol. No. A simta, you can say that because a whole day can go by with only three people coming back and forth in a simta. But in a Rosh Hashanah, people, it's a major traffic. You can't do that. So that's why it says in a Mishnah, but maybe in a simta of Shia. So, let's go back to the Reisha in the Mishnah. If you're telling me that the Mishnah is talking about Rishus Rabbim, Meshicha, Rishus Rabbim, Mikanya, you can't do Meshicha, Rishus Rabbim. You may remember we had this back in Daf Ayin Vov about a week ago. What did we say? Abai Rav Dhamma Travayi, Mesira Koinib Rishus Rabbim, Ubachotish Einishol Shnei. Meshicha Koinib Simta Ubachotish Einishol Shnei. This is the difference between Mesira and Meshicha. What's the difference between Mesira and Meshicha? Rishbam conveniently says, look it up back in Daf Ayin Vav. I already explained it over there. But what did we explain over there? The Gemara said, the Meshicha means that I'm Moishechet L'toich Rishusi. I am showing possession in Baalus by taking it into my Rishus. That's why I'm schlepping it and pulling it. When does that work? In Simta it works, because Simta, since it happens to be like a Chotash Yishol Shnei'en, that everybody can show Baalus for a short period of time.
Momentarily it's like his Rishus.
Momentarily. So for that short moment, the Mashiach brought into my Rishus, and therefore it becomes mine. However, if I do the Rishus Rabban, my friend, you can go Mimoshech a mile in Rishus Rabban, that's not your Rishus. So all you've done is you're a schlepper. You're not a person that has accomplished anything with your schlepping. So therefore, it's not kind. So the Mesira is kind, because Mesira, you have the Mocher giving to Lekeach, hands it over. Or at least he says, take it, Lechazeku Kni. So therefore, he's verbalizing, take it over. So Mesira works. But Mashiach, it has to be dafk into your ownership. Aha. So therefore, since our Mishnah is talking about Mashiach, by definition, we must be talking about a Simta, not a Shusar Rabbit. And therefore, Freit the Gemara, since the Mishnah said, Modad, Fulei Moshach, Loikana, and it must be talking in a Simta, why was he not Koine? If you poured it out onto the floor, according to your Ravasi, you're Koine. It's a Harayah to Reb Zeira, and a Harayah to the Shmamina, that when are you Koine in a Simta? In the Kelev Sholoi Keach, but not on the floor? Azei Zotima. Zotimura, no, Nishkarai. My Moshach Nam Yutani, when it says in our Mishnah that it says that Moshach Vulimod that is Kana, so he said that must be talking in a Simta. No. What it's referring to is Moshach from the Rishus Rabbim into the Simta. That's what we're referring to. That he took it out from one Rishus and he schlepped it to the Simta. Freitimara, Ihochi Eima Seifa, Imhoyi Pikeh, it says in our Mishnah. If he was very smart, Soiches Makoiman, he could go and tell the Moicher, I want to go and
rent,
lease from you your Makam for 10 seconds. If our Mishnah is talking about Rishus Rabbim, how is he able to go and rent from the owner that Rishus doesn't belong to him? In other words, you have a peddler who's selling his wares in the middle of Rishus Rabbim, you have a koiner who's koined. Oh, if he was Pikeach and he didn't want to do a Mashiach, he didn't want to do a Hagba, he could do Soiches Makoiman. My friend, you can do a same Mekayim in the middle of the sidewalk, in the middle of Rishus Rabbim.
It's the Brooklyn Bridge.
Exactly. Rishus Rabbim Man, okay? Everything more hachikama, the imber Shuz Baalim, if it was in the Shuz Baalim. In other words, you have to add three words to the Mishnah. Mishnah said, Im hoyi pikeach, soiches Mekayim, you have to say, Im hoyi pikeach. And it was all to Rishus Baalim. Oh, what's it then? And soiches Mekayim. Then you don't have to worry about a Mashiach. You don't have to worry about a Medida. You don't have to worry about a Kelev Shalakech. You don't have to worry about a Kelev Shalakech. You don't have to worry about a Simtar Shalam. You'll have a Kinyam Chotzer, and it will be yours. Stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. Have a wonderful day.